nonsense.
Self-help from the hip.
Small doses.
We're talking that shit.
Small doses.
And keeping it real.
Small doses.
With me and them seals.
It's so funky.
Welcome to part two of Pan-Africanism with Noah Dumezweni from Harry Potter's The Cursed Child and Michaela Cole from Chewing Gum. Both of them are starring in the new Netflix show, Black Earth Rising. They were here last week talking about what it is to be a Black person in all different places of the world. That is what I consider, and many other people consider, Pan-Africanism. The conversation was so real, so full, and so hilarious that I said, you know what? We gotta cut it into two. And here it is, the second dose. I mean, I have a theory that there's only two kinds of white people. There's white people and people who happen to be white. That's it.
Is that for me? She's on the floor.
That's it. She's on the floor. Michaela's on the floor. Man down. Man down. Man down.
Reach. Because your mind has exploded. The yoga's coming in handy today.
The yoga.
Wow.
Boom.
I'm like, yo, man. That's deep. That's all my friends. I'm like, yeah, they just happen to be. Wow. That's deep.
It's huge. When I heard
it's
you say
nice special.
I think about that Brexit.
Because I think you're in front of me. I need to hear that explained again because I was going,
because
how come you just said that now, man?
Brexit, but that's just how I feel. Like there's people who subscribe
that's
to
so deep.
There's people who subscribe to this fallacy.
That's
and
so
then there's
deep.
People who don't?
That's the
matter.
I'm like,
honey.
Oh my God.
I love what you said because my housemate, he's like, I've lived with him for
3.5 years now. We've lived in a 4-bedroom, it's me and 3 white people. Then I moved out with Ash. I was like, Ash, I want to move, let's go. We went. And I know him so well now. And what you just said, because it's like, he doesn't choose to subscribe to this. It's like, by being bored, it's like, he acknowledges everything, but he can hardly say it because it's like, it's almost like he's the most beautiful person. And it's like,
I love that you found this reason.
Oh my God, it's like it wasn't your fault.
Yeah. It's so level shit.
And it's like, you know, I have to like coax it out of him. It's like, and you can see him going, yeah, okay. I'm like, and it's like, oh, he just happens to be, bless him. It's like, I love him so much. But
Ash has to acknowledge that even though,
oh no, he does,
and that's all
he,
I'm saying.
Oh yeah, but
that's a two part of happening to be white.
100 But it's also about, for example, we have. In fact, I cannot say this is the same. But for example, first generation immigrants in the UK, right? We have this whole idea of every Christmas we go home. You know, we go home.
Yes.
We have this whole thing. And we
can.
Talk about, yeah,
those
who can.
Yeah.
Go Afrofuturism.
Yeah.
We talk about da, da,
yeah.
da.
Yeah.
And basically, I realized that my housemate also does not fit in with this British kind of Brexit narrative. But he doesn't have anywhere to go because he's from the UK. So he does, and you can kind of see him like,
he's stuck.
He wants to go. Yeah, and it's like, but there's, where can I go, Mika? And actually my heart does, because we live in London.
We're lucky.
It's just that our circumstances are different.
Our stories allow us, and with gratitude, we have to acknowledge that we can be
elsewhere. He has lots of other ways.
I experienced that with Black American friends.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I've experienced that with Black American
do.
friends, and I've experienced that with people who have tried to undermine my access to Black American culture, my access to acknowledging myself as Black American, because I have a duality in having a mother who is Grenadian and being able to say, I can go, you know, I can go to a place that I can call home. I mean, I'm literally a dual citizen.
Yeah,
so I can go.
Right. Oh, I see.
Of course, I can be Nancy. No, man. Yeah. When I'm coming presidency, I say, well, I can leave at any time.
There she goes.
And so, you know, there's something to be said. And I acknowledge, though, that there is something to having that duality within me as someone who is a member of a Pan-African community. And I think that when it came to, like, Black folks in America acknowledging their severed connections
yes.
to the continent. It was
you do not know where you are from.
Yes. And it was a desire to say, like, no, we want to reclaim. And this goes back to even like Marcus Garvey and the UNIA and, you know, the Black Star Line and wanting to reclaim a connection that had been stolen from us and feeling like you have to like have Stockholm syndrome with a place that has treated you like trash.
Absolutely.
So like there's and so then there's also like a concerted effort on the part of certain individuals to say, well, then we need to make a tribe of Black Americans. So I've heard people refer to themselves as descendants of slaves, and that they are a specific tribe of Black Americans, meaning that they are the descendants of chattel slavery in America. Mm-hmm. And so this country was built on their backs. And so only they should have access to the funds and the positives, et cetera, that come from being Black American in this country. I don't agree with that.
As an outsider, as an outsider, I can understand.
Exactly.
I can understand where that is coming. I can understand that point. I can.
But no, I haven't heard that. That's right.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that either until like I started being called, people were calling me a culture vulture saying that I was appropriating Black culture because they were saying... They were saying that because my mother is from Grenada, I'm not really Black American, which brings us to another question.
Oh, this is so interesting.
I've been told so many times that I'm Black, not African American. The only reason I want to be African American is because I'm in search for an identity. I've been told that my bloodline probably has never been to Africa. It irritates me that so many Black people are pro-Black but not pro-African. I refuse to believe anything else. Do you have any book recommendations or bodies of knowledge so that I can immerse myself in truth?
Wait, her bloodline's never been to Africa?
She said that her bloodlines have not...
So what does that mean?
What the fuck does
that
mean?
I'm sorry.
Well, there are...
Not to that, but what does that mean? Sorry.
Well, no, if your blood... Aren't we all kind
of from
Africa?
From Africa?
There are Black people of this continent who were not...
Brought by slavery.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, oh,
that's
and they're considered... Yeah. Native American or indigenous.
Oh.
The same
is this
way
what
that
she
like
means?
I think that's what she means. I mean, I think that's what if that's not what she means, that's what it is. If that's what she's trying to discern.
Yeah, but so
it's like Aborigines. Aborigines are Black people, but they're indigenous.
Black
yes.
Saying that she didn't come over her ancestry?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so confusing. But this is the whole point about all of us. Our stories are extraordinary.
Can you
but
ask
they're
her?
Also
no,
extracted.
Really Tanya,
I can't.
Is that
thank
right?
you. Okay.
But they're also extracted. So the truth
to
is
to try and find out who the fuck you are.
Yeah, like you don't really, really know. Like we're basing this on like ancestry.com.
Yeah.
It's
right.
like
which
same,
I don't trust. I'm the sorry.
The same people that
again.
Enslaved
so
you are telling you where you're from. So it's like what?
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
I mean,
I've been listening to NPR, mate.
But wait, you
understand?
You know that it's not mainly. Like it's not mainly Black people that are doing
no,
that.
No, no,
as in, like it's like everybody is doing that.
But it's like the whole...
and it's I know. Like, listen, when I was in Ghana, all the Ghanaians are like that stuff is bullshit, and it's not. I don't think it is bullshit.
No, I don't
no it's like science. You know, it's not bullshit. It's
like
science.
It's like with Cleopatra when people are like, her mother was.
I saw your post. Yeah,
but people were
like,
literally like, yeah, but her mother had. They said her mother had an African skeleton. What does
what is
that
an African
mean?
Skeleton, please?
What
does
what
an African skeleton look like?
Me of a little
it's in the shape of the African skeleton.
Exactly. Was it dancing?
Victorians.
It has some bongo drums like built into the interior.
Eugenics and the Victorians.
Yeah, okay.
Can we talk about that? How to understand our Blackness? Because they said, oh, the African head is this shape.
Yeah.
And it's
but then didn't they also, I mean,
that's why
I
said to laugh it off. But a lot of people think that they're being very intellectual when they say things like that. And
no,
I'm like, no,
bollocks.
You Google it.
It's
bollocks.
It's
because I need to
they literally Google something and they're like, what's your uncle? Here it is.
Yeah, da, da, da.
No.
Yeah.
But the reality,
yeah.
I'm going to think of some books for this young woman, but
I still don't understand that.
But something that happens here, something that happens in America, and what also happens when you go to different places as a Black person, we are still judging each other's Blackness.
Always.
Based on on metrics that, honestly, to my feeling, are really not.
That's how we've grown up. They're not ours.
Yeah, why does it matter?
It's the same way that, like, West Indians will come to America and then judge Black Americans and be like, you're lazy, you're this, you're that. It's the same way that, like, Black Americans.
Samir Nishin did a play. Did you ever see, I don't think you did, called Belong. But it was about the Caribbean, the West Indies, and the Africans. And a couple, we were the African couple, but it was, where do you belong in Britain? Because you're the Africans, but Africans, so the Nigerians digging on with the Jamaicans.
Right.
And that has been part of
history. But you're all in Brixton.
We're all in Brixton.
But also the Nigerians didn't get along. So then it just gets divisions.
The tribalism of that.
But then you have, like, Americans who will be like, Africans are dirty and da 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 da. And it's you'll have Africans who'll be like, Americans are this, you know. And it's like, so what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I was in the post office in Peckham. It's like Brixton. But so much cooler. I say that. And I remember this woman going in the post office queuing, and this woman, the smell of that man, the smell of that man.
Oh,
he's from Africa. It was a
West Indian one.
Yeah. And I'd never heard that before. And I was like, wow. And yes, it was fruity.
Now here's the thing.
That is the thing.
But she said, and then she spoke to me afterwards. And I went, oh yeah, now I'm from South Africa. And she did a little
Didn't realize that.
But so, here's the thing. I think that, you know, the other argument is, well, all white people don't have to get along. Like, white, you know, there's Irish people who didn't like Italians, and then there's British people who don't like, I mean, there's English people who don't like Scottish.
Well, Scottish or Welsh.
Et cetera. So why are we expected?
Exactly.
Why are we at a different standard? Why can't we have the same freedom to not like somebody from a different culture that they have?
I don't know.
We don't have
like
the same history.
No, we don't.
I don't know if, like, English people and Italians be like, they smell, they come in the post office. I don't know if it's that deep.
England literally stole Scotland. Like,
yeah, but I mean, I don't think that English people go, oh, they smell. You know, it's economic theft, but it isn't they smell.
But they just do it differently. No. They absolutely, British people are some of the rudest motherfuckers out here.
I mean, we know that. But no.
Let me explain. British people have, and actually not just white people,
Black people then take on racism, not just the Black people too, the Asian community. Yeah.
Of course.
What I'm saying is, I don't think that the Anglo-Saxon British race look at another white race and go, ugh, they smell. That does not happen.
People do that?
Correct. Oh, and white people do that.
But is it just a different expression? Because the British are culturally, the British are very much more pulled in. You know, they're very much like,
British people have no problem saying that they smell. They smell, their food stinks, they stink,
but they don't do it to other white people.
Correct.
They'll do it to Indians.
That's what I'm saying. And to Black people. And then black people do it to other black people.
Or
other people that are brown.
So
and
we're
not
taking
white.
On, and so basically what the you're conscious. Saying is we're taking on the oppression of the
Correct.
Oppressor.
Yes, yes.
But so many people's idea of freedom is not about having liberation.
Can we talk about that?
But it's not about having liberation.
Why are British people so fucking rude?
Oh my God. In Grenada.
Oh
God.
Yeah.
I mean, just this idea of like,
it's
I'm here.
Entitled.
I'm here. This is my beach now.
Oh God.
You know? This is my beach. I'm here. And that's that was in Grenada. That was in Cuba.
Yeah.
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
This is my beach. Yeah. I'm here now. You know? And they come with this sense of it's the same. They all feel like that. Not fair.
Not all.
Many feel like they continue.
But there is a cliche.
They continue. You know what I've been saying recently? Like, I don't want to hear about not all when most of are doing it.
Yes.
So don't tell me about not all.
But do we know that most of? I'm always like, I need to
I'm just saying, if I've seen more than I've seen less of, I'm calling it most of.
Okay, fair.
That's my experience. Like, we can always, I'm so getting tired of having to preface everything with, it's my experience. Of course, it's my experience.
Yeah, no, I'm like not bored of that because I live in Britain and I'm 3%. So it's like, no, I'm like always.
This is my
God.
Now I'm training people to have to fucking deal with it. I'm talking, assume it's my experience. I'm not going to keep saying in my opinion. You know whose opinion it is.
And it's not an opinion. It's experience.
Until it's experience. Unless I say, and you'll hear me say, I don't know about this like that.
And can we own that phrase, please? In this lifetime.
What, I don't know.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
I mean, but like on all spectrums, on all spectrums, if I'm at Target and I ask you for something, just say, I don't know. Don't say no. You don't know.
Yeah.
Because then when I go to the aisle and I find the shit, I'm going to bring it back to you and be like, this.
You said you never had this.
You said you didn't have these Kotex tampons, but they're here.
Why did you
right here.
You told me this wasn't there. Don't go telling anybody else that it's not there.
Just say you don't know. Find somebody who knows. Because I wanted these specific tampons. I was about to have to go somewhere else.
Can I take you to the aisle where it is so you can tip yourself while you're working?
I absolutely do that.
If anybody else comes in, you can
take a walk with me.
Let me show you where you work.
It's one of the most important senses in life. And being as an actor, we can talk about that, but as a human being, as a director, and I have done that experience, and I've learned it from great directors. You go, I don't know, so let us see what will happen.
That's the mark.
I cannot tell you.
We don't know.
So, but trust me to tell my story in this moment.
And okay, here's a good question. Change our minds. We can grow and change and see a different perspective.
Yeah, we have to.
I am an avid traveler. As a Black American, one of my favorite things is getting to know Black people slash cultures from elsewhere in the diaspora. Can you share a particularly enlightening, memorable experience that you've had learning about a Black culture outside of your own? I can tell. I can start.
Yeah. I've got a couple.
When I went to Ghana, I really had no frame of, like, I will admit that my frame of reference for Africa as a continent was very limited, right? Like, I had sparsed out, like, okay, I know what to consider for the Sudan. I know, like, Egypt. I think for a lot of people, they think the continent of Africa looks like Niger. Like, if they really, that's what a lot of people think Africa as
travel
a continent
guys,
looks like. It looks like sparse, desert and huts, right? So they think it looks like Niger. But then, I had a South African awareness. I don't have a frame of reference for Ethiopia. I don't have a frame of reference for Kenya outside of like
the Congo.
I don't have it.
Oh, yeah,
so unless I'm seeing films showing me some concept, I genuinely will admit I was coming in with a splintered big picture.
Yeah.
So I was shocked when I went to Cape Coast in Ghana at how tropical it was.
Yeah.
But it's like, you dumb bitch.
You should know.
It's on the equator.
Well done.
And it's tropical. Mm-hmm. But it was like I was in Grenada. I mean, I really honestly could not believe how Caribbean it felt. And it's in those moments.
And how uneducated you were about it.
100%, right?
Yeah.
But it's in those. I mean, we were literally at a restaurant watching the ocean with palm trees. They're blasting bujou. And we're like eating. But then we're eating fufu.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like.
Yes.
But it's at those moments where you're like, we are. You know how people have those moments where like,
we're
I know God lives
open,
because
yeah,
da 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 da. This is one of those moments where I'm like, I know there is a diaspora because I am in a completely quote unquote foreign place right now.
Different continent.
That feels exactly like the Blackness I know.
Yeah.
Not just like the terrain I know, because I want to make it clear. I'm not just talking about like, oh, beach and palm trees. Well, they have that in Cyprus, you know, whatever. No, it was that there was an energy in that space. It was a tropical. It was an. It had like an island
the earth
energy.
Has said, I'm on the equator.
Oh,
yes,
have you grown up on the equator?
Beautiful.
And so that was
so
very
cool.
much
yeah.
like one of those moments
yeah.
of like.
Beautiful.
We are connected.
Literally.
We are connected. But what's interesting?
Yes. So what's the story
for you? Go back to the question again. I want to get the specific.
The question was, what is a particular like enlightening experience that you had learning about
a
Black culture outside of your home?
It was a painful one. It was a painful one. And people may shoot me down for this, but this was my experience.
Yeah.
So going to Ghana for the first time in 2017.
Yes.
And having been to South Africa, Cape Town, and Johannesburg for 7 weeks in my life in 2014, meeting my family, re-engaging with my dad after over 30 years, my mum being there, my daughter seeing it briefly. I go, oh, this is what. So Ghana, the princes and the kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
they haven't gone through apartheid. They haven't gone through you are not worthy. They haven't gone through Rwanda. And I realized that I'd been to South Africa first, and as a black person, I find Cape Town quite hard.
Yes,
Cape Town is blacks, whites, coloreds. Blacks, whites, coloreds. Everyone says this. It's a mantra from everyone. This is what I observed.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Ghana, and there are people holding umbrellas up for the prince who's walking around in the gold thing. Because he's obviously a black manager, Western accountancy, but and the place that he grew up in, how does it break down? Do you understand how it breaks down from your culture?
Yeah, it's just tribes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the different tribes.
Yeah.
But that sense of...
Oh, yes, royalty.
Royalty. As they have all grown up with royalty.
And they look like them.
And they look like them. Yeah, and the black people.
Yes.
And the mixed race people in South Africa have gone growing up with going, you are not worthy, you're not worthy.
Yeah.
And it is literally, for me, it was like, whoa, I come from this place of pain. That's what my existence is. My parents had to flee because they looked like me and they were not allowed in that place.
Mm.
And they couldn't cope with it. Other people stayed. We must understand that. Other people had to stay. And my parents made that choice. And with that, I get to live this experience and live and growing up here. And then I go to Ghana going, oh, you guys love yourselves.
What?
You love yourselves. Well, that's my thought.
Because I was like,
And exactly, that's... And I will go, let's go to the thing we hate. This is my observation.
Mm.
And I don't know whether it's right, but I go, I now make a story. I now make a story of that.
It's just that there's always two sides. I'm like, there's like so many. Which one do I go for? I'm like, I can pick nine, like the like kind of uplifting ones. Let's go for
that.
I would say, I don't know if this really answers the question, but in terms of my experience, Puerto Rico was really, you know, I've never been in a place with a shaved head, you know, with just dark, dark as fuck, being told I'm so beautiful by everyone on the street.
But were you in communities of Afro-Latinx people?
Yeah. As in, I've come from Britain.
Where no, I'm saying in when you were in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, just as in, like, I lived in El Yunque, the rainforest, and also wherever the tourists are near the beach. I can't remember what it's called. Just one bay tourist strip.
Okay.
But kind of just, like, you go into restaurants, you find kind of, like, where's the kind of, like, locally built up restaurants, and you go in and, you know, being, not having any hair, being very dark, I've lived my life going, what I've done is taken away every kind of shred of femininity that I could possibly have, then being there and being like, sis, you're beautiful, walking, and it's like, oh, this is nice, that there was no kind of a...
you didn't feel black.
Well, I felt like a
black
woman. No, I felt
like a
beautiful black woman.
But did you learn anything about their culture?
I mean, I learned their togetherness and their unity. It was after the big storm. Many people had left, and then those who remained stayed and kind of welcomed tourists in. I didn't learn, I mean, apart from small Spanish, I didn't learn.
Have you had any experiences where you learned something about Black American culture that you hadn't?
Ooh. What? Like, I wouldn't have been able to learn without being... Give me a probe. Yeah, what? Yeah, like, what does
so
it really mean?
So, for instance, like, my mother, for her 70th birthday, wanted to go to Memphis, Tennessee.
Music place, which I've heard.
So, like, for me, being an American, I'm like, the fuck you want to go to Memphis?
Yeah, no, I'm like that, and I'm British,
I'm
so
like,
I don't understand.
I'm like, why do you want to go to Memphis?
The music place.
But my... I mean, it's like me taking for granted the fact that, like, this is my country and it's accessible and it's here. So, like, but for my mother, my mom's from Grenada.
So for my mother, my mom
is like, no, when I was in Grenada growing up and I'm listening to Elvis and B.B. King and I'm listening to like Watt Stax, they're all making this music in Memphis. So for her, Memphis is this like hallowed place of music.
Is that a black experience? Or that's
1,000,000%. Yeah. I named Elvis, but Memphis is an innately, so Memphis is
music.
Like, I mean, the percentage of black folks in Memphis is in the majority.
Oh, no, I know
Memphis
that much.
Memphis is also the site of Martin Luther King's passing.
Yes, exactly.
At the Lorraine Hotel. Civil rights, you know, we're recording today on Martin Luther King's birthday.
I'm like, yes.
So the civil rights movement was, you know, had an incredible stake in Memphis. And so, you know, for her,
Yes.
So I'm speaking but from
her.
Was
it Elvis or was it Martin?
Forget Elvis, Michaela.
Okay, I'll forget
so
Elvis things. I'm like,
it's more just about that for her. I'm speaking about like she came to Memphis because Memphis for her was a site of Black American musical culture that she had no access to when she was living in England and when she was living in Grenada. So for my mom, her entryway into Black American culture has been solely me and music. That's it. So like for her going to Memphis, she then also went to an Underground Railroad museum, which like she's read about that, but like she'd never like learned that there were quilts used on the Underground Railroad as maps to know where to go. Mm. Like she'd never learned that. Like she'd never learned that in Memphis, you know, the magnolia tree outside of your home was a sign that you were a safe house.
And now we only know that because the documentary is a Netflix fictional TV
show. So she had never, you know, so speaking to her Pan-African experience, like she had never had access to any of that information until she was 70 and chose to go to Memphis. So,
okay, so that's, yes. I wouldn't say I've had any kind of...
Really?
No, not to America. It would be... Like my mom, it would be going to Ghana. I learned about the Black experience of a Ghanaian, of even going to Amina Castle. That was kind of learning. Every other experience has been being a minority in a white space. So it's been kind of going to Bulgaria or France or Thailand or...
Did you ever have any experience with the Black culture in France? And
oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course I did. Yeah, but that's why I said I wanted to do positive stuff. So that's why I'm like, well, no. I mean,
Paris. I can't handle
Weaves. Oh, well, no. If we're going to do Weaves, then we need to go to Ghana. I mean, Ghana, I go to Ghana now because I don't have a Weave. People think I'm... Literally, I'm asking.
Yeah, but I can understand that way more than Paris. Like the Weaves in Paris, I know people are going to be texting me like, Amanda, I need y'all to have better Weaves.
You're talking about the quality of a Weave?
I just need a better Weave. If you're going to do it right.
Oh, see, I'm talking about what we assign to the wearing of a Weave in these countries.
That's what I mean.
It's all part of the culture.
They're wearing
it. It's intense. Yes.
It doesn't matter how good the Weave is because as long as you are wearing a Weave, you're better. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The Black African experience in France, in Paris, that I experienced was intense. Oh, yeah. And that's from a British person.
Both of us did, yeah.
And us, me, Alyssa, and Emmanuel playing chess in that hotel, the giant chess pieces. And I remember walking in that day, and all I see in the front line of the reception was white people. And that evening, I was like, that's a Black one.
Yes.
There's a Black woman!
But that isn't...
In the front line. Yeah. But I will say why, because... I acknowledge the Weave. But I remember there was a moment where all different people, this is all filming and all different crews and different people sitting in places. We all knew most of the people outside in the garden. And I remember this woman coming up to me and Alyssa and saying, "Kid, you keep your noise down." This Black woman telling us to keep our noise down. And I went, "Excuse me?" But she'd been sent out
to do
the job.
She was the
ambassador. She went straight to us. And that hurt me so much. And then the next morning I wake up and then I saw all the people doing the cleaning in the hotel.
Yeah.
Were Black. I hadn't clocked it before.
But this
moment of power. Is that this moment of power?
But that doesn't teach us anything about the experience of... Because they're silent. No. Those people don't have...
That's an experience. You've worked so hard to be here.
But then you have to go for that woman.
She's angry.
All she's learned for her as a Black woman working in a hotel in France, all she has learned is that if something she can easily manage Black people, but white people are not people
but
that you go to manage in any way, shape, or form.
Because we had to say, you've got to be kind. You can't do it like that.
Yeah, I know. And it's, I mean...
Oh, she came like stank?
Yes.
But she was... Listen, we were loud. No, but we were loud. We were really fucking loud. Yeah. We were really loud. It was really late. And there were other people that were loud.
Yes.
But it was like her gut instinct that she can tell another Black
person. Yeah.
Yes, and the thing is, she should be able to tell anybody... To
right.
keep their nose down, because we're being really, really loud.
Yeah.
It's this is complex stuff. Like, I mean, there's so many experiences. France was just...
And it was also beautiful, for goodness sake.
I mean, France, I just have... I'm not even going to... I mean, my experience is... I mean, I've been chased down the street. I've had stones thrown at me. Like, literally, like, people pelting me with stones. Men running down the street. This is the... I mean...
Where?
That's Bulgaria. That's Bulgaria. Then there's France going
to... They were black?
Oh, of course they weren't black.
But that's what I'm talking about, Michaela. Exactly. I want to say fuck them. I want to talk about how...
America, fine.
Even if it's just like America, like there's no way that you know everything about Black American culture.
No way.
No way.
And so that's why the question not about Black America.
No, but when I asked you specifically about Black America, you were like,
What did I say?
You were like, there's nothing really that I don't...
I didn't say that. There's almost nothing I know about. I've been here. I came to Afropunk.
And you learned nothing about Black American culture when you came.
That's where I said I was reborn. I said I was reborn. No.
Okay, you just said
when
you were
I said in the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah, you said you were
I
reborn.
Said when I came to New York, it was like, oh, this is Black people who are like proud of this skin that they were born with, who are not perming their hair, who are have kind of like researched something to do with tribal Africa, and they've adorned themselves in this paint. Then I'm watching all the different kind of music genres. I'm watching rock musicians.
Yeah.
I've never seen this stuff before. Right. I've never walked around in a park, A, being the part
this
of the majority.
Brooklyn?
Yes, this is Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Being the majority. Yes. Mm. Has never happened.
Festival.
I'd also never been to a festival. That's my first festival.
Oh, really?
Well done.
I'm not a festival gal too. It's too many people.
Yeah, I mean, that's being here.
And
before that, no, there was no experience of Black America at all, apart from reading like about colorism on sociology websites at 14 years old. That's it. I was wow, there's this, and how I even like came across those things.
I mean, Black America is tribal in ways that it doesn't acknowledge. You know,
everywhere is.
But some places acknowledge and we don't acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't acknowledge that, like, if you live
from
in the
city,
Bay. Like, the Bay is like it's a different experience than living in, like.
Where's the
but
Bay?
Aren't you acknowledging a tribe right now when you say that?
Yeah, I'm acknowledging. But
okay.
I'm saying as a whole, like, culturally, we don't typically acknowledge ourselves in that way. But everyone reps a block. And reps a city.
Same as the UK.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. But like in countries in Africa, you know, I'm Igbo, I'm Yoruba, mm-hmm. you know, I'm Asante, I'm Xhosa, et cetera. So like, but in America, it's like.
Did you just do a click?
I made an attempt.
Hey! I made an attempt.
She did Xhosa.
My mother
would
be very proud of me. I'm
running like an 8-year-old
child. I know, because I'm getting
like... She just did that. I was like, she let that fly? Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. no, but there's just like... I bring that up because even living in Black America, as a Black person, there are elements of Black American culture that I have learned about outside of my personal experience as a Black American. So like,
it's so big. Sam,
when you go to the Bay, it's a whole other shit happening in the Bay. Like,
listen, just to put this out before anybody gets confused, I don't know anything about America. I don't live here. I arrived here today on the plane. I am here for 5 days. Then I go back to Britain. I don't know anything about America.
I wish I was here longer so I could take you to Harlem.
At some point, I'm actually going to be living in Harlem for my last 2 days. I booked an Airbnb in Harlem.
Where
so I'm
be?
Like, this is what I'm like, I don't know. It's on Airbnb.
Okay, so we'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk.
With
my two friends are here. I don't know. And America is huge. I recently did an article for a British newspaper about going back home to Ghana. And I posted it on my Instagram. And that's a global, medium. So it was about being British, having parents that were born in Africa, and about Brexit, where everyone's telling people to go home. And going, I guess, I know you're not talking to me because I was born here, but why not go home? People have moved back to Ghana. And then I got loads of comments from people in America, kind of like, lucky you, you have a home to go to, I don't have a home. Yeah. Yes, and you go, because I don't know this place. It wasn't about America. It wasn't for America. So there may be an article about a black person, but it's not always about America.
And that
so assume that I don't
is
know
what Pan-Africanism is all about.
Yes. And you go there.
And a lot of Americans who are black are fall fate to the same hubris that Americans of all cultural and ethnic backgrounds fall to, which is the fact that America positions itself as the be-all end-all. Yeah. And as black folks, there are black folks in America who fail to, or who choose not to grasp that there are black experiences in other places. Yes. There is something to be said for being a black American. Again, race is a construct, but it has had real consequences.
Yes, it's history. Exactly. It's in action. It's history in action right now.
We've had to acknowledge.
I'm sorry. Yes. I've watched American movies.
So yes. there is a black American experience. There's a black America. French experience. Like
black
there's
British do look to black America.
It's all we had. We didn't have British. We didn't have no girlfriends in the UK. We didn't have no Keenan and Kelly. We had troubles. Did you guys have troubles either?
No.
Oh, that's what all the black stuff came on.
We
didn't
have We had Desmond's.
Oh, you had Skins. But no, but see, I never saw Desmond's. Oh, no, Skins is that's new. That's
is it
like,
really?
Yeah, that's Skins is like for like a whole new generation.
Okay.
Like,
I was watching like Fawlty Towers, and that's what I was watching.
We were watching Golden Girls. My mom was like Golden Girls.
I was watching Monty Python.
Oh no, we never saw that.
The last dose.
What we've all each individually expressed on this podcast is our own unique black experiences that are not any less black based on our skin color, based on our ethnic background, based on our upbringing, based on our nationality, based on our parentage, based on our heritage. We are all uniquely and defiantly and definitively black in our individual experiences. And that is what Pan-Africanism is being able to acknowledge that difference while unifying in the community that has had to be created in spite of the colonial attempt to oppress. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, and this is the thing, it is my only unfortunate issue with Pan-Africanism is that it was forced to be created out of spite to oppression. Like, for all intents and purposes, Pan-Africanism happened because ships split up African people and took us to different places across the world against our will. So to me, I feel like the counter to that is to willfully return a connection to those places, even if it's not by you physically being like, I have to go there. To your point, it's by you acknowledging the connectivity of people who are from there and who you, by nature of history and by blood, have a connection to, even if it's not proven to you by Ancestry.com. And
fuck Ancestry.com!
And that you have a connection to by simply shared experience and by shared history, just like shared history. And listen, shared history is what has, I feel like, driven so much of culture.
Yeah.
Just shared history.
And the more you know, the better you do. We all share history. Yeah. That's like
we have shared history. It's universal. Yeah. But a lot of us don't want to have the acknowledgement of a shared history for fear of guilt.
Differences are beautiful, babes. Differences are beautiful.
Oh, differences are beautiful. Of course they are.
But let's understand that on a bigger picture.
I'm with you.
If I can talk to you and understand that you've had a different experience to me, but we'll look at the world in really interesting ways.
Yeah.
I have to go back to humanity.
And then it's like just bones and blood. You go, rah.
Would you get romantic about it, my love?
Yeah.
I did, because it's that simple. For me, it's that simple.
Just have to accept it.
Yeah. I'm looking at Amanda going, is it time to wind down now? We've been just yapping.
I've got some less dance routines now.
No, I really just am glad that we were able. First of all, let me just point out, you guys, we made this happen like on the fly. I threw it out there, and I was like,
and I'm jet lagged, so there will naturally be people that are offended by something.
Yeah.
I'm gonna blame it on the jet lag today.
But what has happened today is Black excellence.
Mm.
It's Black, you know, it's Black.
Do you think she on your Instagram? I love that.
A moment of ebony excellence. Yeah.
It's that, yeah.
So we have Miss Nomadumezwani.
Hey, yes, girl.
Michaela Cole. You can see them both starring in Black Earth Rising.
Yeah. So you're on the 25th or the 26th? So we're
the 26th.
25th.
Are you all the 25th?
Wait, what was
it? On Netflix?
It starts, yeah.
It starts on the 25th on Netflix. Next day, you can see me.
Yes.
Oh my God, amazing. The next day.
So,
isn't that crazy? It's really lovely to meet you now. We'll never know you from this moment.
Right,
fucking big.
Yeah, be like, hey, hey, you remember me? Director. You gave me your number that time when I came on your podcast.
Make it
I'm
so.
Here. I'm here. I'm
make
outside.
It so.
I'm outside the Golden Globes. I wonder if you can, like,
make
be there.
So.
Can you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank
darling,
you all.
Sorry, who you are.
So much.
Love
well
you.
Done, you. Thank you.
I can't wait to see the show. And so glad you all came to see me.
Likewise. Can't wait to see your show.
Cheers.
Charles.
Cheers.
Charles. Yeah. Charles. Charles.